Welcome to show number 934 this 20th day of March. I'm Todd Cochran, your host. Strap in. Here it comes. This is the Geek News Central podcast, bringing the latest tech and science news, coming to you live from beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save today at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Fans, strap yourself in for a great show. Geek News Central, the longest running tech podcast, is ready. It's showtime. Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, I'm your dedicated host. I want to give a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. The Ohana, thanks for being here, and thanks for being part of the family. If you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome you, of course, to Geek News Central. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Lots to talk about in the tech world. This is show number 934 in our March to 1000. Again, it's the 20th day of March. I'm glad to be here. And lots to talk about. And but I tell you, if you're brand new, really what you got to do is you got to get subscribed to the show. And to get subscribed, all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com and come to the website. You'll find the second column of the website. You'll find a place there where you can subscribe via iTunes or an RSS feed. Get subscribed to our newsletter as well, because I'll drop basically an email to everyone on the newsletter immediately following the show telling you exactly or giving you all the links to all the articles that I cover. So get signed up for the newsletter. But I hope everyone's doing good. It's been a very, very busy week. I kind of got unburied for a week or 10 days. And now it's just piled on again. And things are crazy, crazy busy here. So a lot of time just spent working in the office over the past couple of days. And I did some demo videos last night for some of the stuff that we're doing over to Raw Voice/Blueberry. So definitely been pretty busy here. But hope you guys are doing well. And hope that everyone's getting a little bit warmer weather where you're at. That's the important part. But we want to make sure you all stay in touch with the show. And to do so, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can reach me on Twitter @GeekNews is the place. Of course, you can follow me on Google Plus or on Facebook. Links to those two particular areas will be on the in the show notes tonight at geeknewscentral.com. And of course, you can watch the show if you so desire on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Google TV, Samsung Smart TV, Chromecast, a number of places where you can catch the show. Hey, tonight's content is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been a sponsor here for a very, very long time. And we've got some great deals that they have put together for you this month. And really, it's a piece of cake. What you got to do is you got to go over, let's flip this. How come that didn't switch? Go over to GeekNewsCentral.com and /GoDaddy. And let's see if I can actually also bring up the, on the page is the GoDaddy promo code link. All you got to do is click that, and that's going to bring you right into the website where we have all the promo codes that they've made available, and there's a whole stack of them here for you to use. 32% off your new purchase, 25% off a new order, 50% off a new hosting plan, 50% off first 12 months of business website builder, $295.coms for one new or transfer.com for the first year. The new Found 5 product where you get 10% off for business customers wanting to be found on the web. We've got a website builder for $1 per month with a free domain. We've got $1.99 economy hosting each month for 12 months with a free domain. We've got 20% off for renewals. We've got $35 discount codes. And even sometimes the $1.99.com code still works. So there's a pile of stuff at geeknewscentral.com. Again, /GoDaddy. That's where you're going to find all the codes that basically that we make available for you, that GoDaddy's made available to me to give to you as a way to save some money. And really, you know, we put some new banners on the website today, and I kind of had to laugh on this one here. But, you know, here's Danica, you know, making an offer along with a gal that has the tanning solution. Beef up your business with a .com. Well, $9.99 is not the case. Right at the top, the special offer that I clicked on was a 32% off code. As if we load another site, there's the $2.90. Basically, all hinges is on using the promo codes. And when you get to the checkout, you want to make sure that the savings is locked in, because that's how you're going to save a lot of money here. So, you know, sometimes you need to do double orders. Do one where you buy your .coms and the other where you buy your hosting plans, and another where you're doing renewals and really use the codes smartly, and you can save a lot of money. And that's what's really important here. We've got a bevy of codes for you to use at GoDaddy. Lots of ways to save. Great products and services over there. I was talking with a guy doing a tech support email back and forth between a guy and he, and I was telling him, hey, do this and do that and do this. And he says, well, I can't install plugins with my hosting provider because I have to pay for a full year in order to do that. And I was like, huh? What do you mean you have to pay for a full year of service to be able to install plugins? And he kind of tell me what's going on. You don't have to worry about that. When you go over to GoDaddy.com and get a hosting account, you install WordPress, you can install whatever plugins you want. They don't restrict you from that. You know, you have to go through and judiciously pick out the ones you want to have installed from WordPress, and you just click a button and they're installed, and you can set them up real easy. So one thing we did like is the setup process they made, so that when you set up a WordPress site on GoDaddy, they actually step you through very carefully, asking you for your domain, your site name, your username, your password, and a variety of different questions that basically gets you to the point where, boom, your site's up online really, really quick. So we appreciate GoDaddy as a sponsor here and hope that you'll take some time and go over and save some money at GoDaddy.com. All right, lots to get through tonight. So I did want to take just a few minutes here and kind of share with you guys some stuff that's going on the New Media Show this coming Saturday. We're going to have Rick Calvert on from New Media Expo. So the leader of New Media Expo is going to be on the New Media Show. Rick listened to our show with Cliff Ravenscraft last week. He has some concerns. He wants to come on and talk about the podcasting space. So we're excited to bring Rick on and have him for about 90 minutes this coming Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. So we hope that you'll join us if you're interested in the new media space. So please consider coming out. I want to thank all the folks that have become insiders. We're starting to see an increase in folks that are supporting the show at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I do appreciate your ongoing support. And you can, too, start at 6.7 cents a day or $2 a month and basically giving a little kicker to the show to help us out here. Again, like I said, really at the beginning of the show, I've just been buried. I mean, almost overwhelmingly buried. And we are, we talked about this. I think I shared with you guys before. We're going to hire someone to be in our Columbus office. We're actually going to bring someone in that's going to be able to do a lot of the things that sometimes I can't do because of my schedule and everything else. So we're really excited to making a job announcement soon. So if you know someone that's very dynamic in the Columbus area, drop me an email, because that's where we're going to be making the job announcement and where we want actually someone to work in our Columbus office. So we'll keep you advised on that when that job posting goes up. I've been working on the job description so that we can get that up on, I think, Munster and LinkedIn and a variety of places. But we are going to be hiring an entry-level person, which is going to really help us out a lot from a team perspective. And to get some of the load off me, starts early in the morning and goes late into night. And it's become a little bit of a wear, to be honest. So I'm looking forward to bringing someone on to do some of the administrative tasks that need to be done. So I'm really excited. Okay, so speaking of some of our services, don't forget that, once you get your WordPress website set up on GoDaddy, we want you to bring your media hosting over to blueberry.com. And you can get a free month of Blueberry hosting or stat service, premium services, by using the promo code GEEKNEWS when you check out over there. And there's, of course, a banner up on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Feel free to click on that, baby, and that's going to get you over there and get you set up to really be all set with your business and and really help you with your podcast as you get up and online. All right, so let's go ahead and switch into general topic mode tonight, and let me make sure I got through all that stuff. I did, and save that and close it. Hard to believe that we're just about 66 shows away from blasting over at the 1,000 show mark. It's really incredible that we've made this march to this point. All right, so let me look and see what I've got on this. I close that, close this. Don't you love it when I talk to myself? Hey, first thing I want to do tonight is I really kind of want to go after a story that was making the rounds today quite a bit, and it's something that, in my opinion, is beyond shocking. Microsoft said late today that it will evolve its policies for searching through non-employee Hotmail and Outlook.com mail accounts in the wake of concerns over privacy. The company obviously has come under fire after revelations that it basically searched the account of a blogger, non-Microsoft employee, on Hotmail, to whom company information was leaked. In its latest statement, Microsoft has defended its actions and noted that the courts generally won't grant a court order to search one's own computer. So basically what they have done here is that they've searched themselves. Hotmail is on their property, and shockingly, they have got a policy that's basically in the terms of service at Hotmail.com and Outlook. It says, we may access or disclose information about you, including the content of your communications, in order to A, comply with the law or respond to lawful requests or legal processes, or B, protect the rights or property of Microsoft or our customers, including the enforcement of our agreements or policies governing the use of the service. C, act on good faith belief that such access or disclosure is necessary to protect the personal safety of Microsoft employees, customers, or the public. Now, they went in and essentially went after a guy. They're trying to find out which Microsoft worker had leaked a pre-release of Windows 8 software. And that is when Microsoft accessed the Hotmail account of a blogger in a foreign country to whom the data was leaked. And they did it without a court order. So this guy had an account on Hotmail.com. The person from Microsoft that worked at Microsoft shared this with the guy, this blogger. He posted something online. Microsoft then went into his email account to determine who from Microsoft had fed him the information. Microsoft defended its actions in a statement late today by saying, or actually yesterday, during an investigation of an employee, we discovered evidence that the employee was providing stolen IP and code, including code relating to our activation process, to a third party. In order to protect our customers and the security integrity of our products, we conducted an investigation over many months with law enforcement agencies in multiple countries. This included the issuance of a court order for the search of a home relating to the evidence of the original criminal acts involved. The investigation repeatedly identified clear evidence that the third party involved intended to sell Microsoft IP and had done so in the past. As part of the investigation, they took the step of a limited review of this third party's Microsoft operated account, while Microsoft terms of service make clear our permission for this type of review. This happens only in the most exceptional circumstances. We apply a rigorous process before reviewing such contact. In this case, there was a thorough review by a legal team separate from the investigating team and strong evidence of a criminal act that met a standard comparable to that required to obtain a legal order to search other sites. In fact, as noted above, such a court order was issued in other aspects of the investigation. Now, notice they're very careful to say, in other aspects. So, here's a piece of advice. You're going to get some code or some inside information from someone. Don't do it on the email account of the company that you're basically getting the information from. But I'm very, very surprised here that they did this. This is to me is a sign that nothing is sacred anymore, and nothing at all. And you can just expect that if you're putting anything on any service, whether it be your own .com email service, whether it be Outlook.com, Hotmail, Gmail, yes, because Gmail or Google has the same type of clause. So does the folks at Yahoo have the same type of clause. So, but Microsoft's terms of service allow for the company to search accounts to protect its intellectual property. Again, with Yahoo and Google including similar language in their legal notices. I don't know. What do you guys think? You think this is a big deal? I do. I really do. Now, I don't know the full details on the blogger, nor do I care. But if they had that much evidence that this had happened, why didn't they go after the blogger himself? Why didn't they, you know, basically file civil action and bring that individual into court for damages? And then through all the discovery that goes on during a civil proceeding, why didn't they depose this individual? You know, and that's what's going to happen in a civil proceeding like that. And he would have to protect himself. And if he actually did something illegal, then you turn it over to a police or a prosecutor and let them go after the individual for whatever they've done on a legal standing. But I think it's pretty incredible still, even in this case, that they went into this user's email account. It's like them coming into your house. You know, they got a search warrant. That's one thing. But they had no search warrant. They had a terms of service. So, I don't know. I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on what you think about the Microsoft intrusion. But again, don't use Microsoft Webmail to receive Microsoft leaks. But there's no standard here. It just seems like anything is plausible at this point with companies doing this type of stuff. I think for the most part, probably most Americans are probably getting pretty sick of some of this type of information being revealed. Because it's obvious the companies don't give a crap. You know, they're willing to take the shotgun blast to the face. You know, they think they're so big that they can't fail. You know, I'm just pretty wowed by this. I really, really am. If they had that much information, you know, then, you know, go to a court of law, do a civil proceeding. You know, if you can't get a criminal proceeding, go after it civilly. See, it just seems like that makes the most sense to me, but guess not to Microsoft. All right, we're going to move on from this topic, and I'm going to go into another one. And I've been talking about this for a while now, and I just, you know, I said within 10 years that we're going to be able to start ordering organs. And, you know, the possibilities are endless with science and what medicine is doing right now and literally printing or growing organs. And there's a great article on fastcoexist.com today talking about that. It says lab-grown organs are out in the wild and more are coming soon. A lab-grown trachea transplant is already possible using a patient's own cells. The company behind the successful surgery said blood vessels, small intestines, and other hollow organs could be next. And apparently in 2011, a Erythian man, and I'd be honest with you, I apologize, I don't know where that region is, was dying from trachea cancer. The tumor in his windpipe was, the doctors explained, too big to remove. and there was no time to wait for a donor organ to show up. And he received a healthy new windpipe made from his own cells. And he was the first of 8 patients to receive a trachea grown on synthetic scaffolding in a laboratory. And so far, just two have died from causes unrelated to their transplants. Harvard Apparatus Regenerative Technology, the regenerative medicine company behind many of the innovations used in the trachea transplant, believe we're only seeing the beginning of lab-grown organs. Now, I think this is pretty awesome. Having had family, when my father died, he was a organ donor, but because of the severity of his accident, he was only able to give a limited number of his organs. It was stuff that was his corneas and a variety of different things were able to be harvested and passed to a donor. And we've talked about that, way back many, a number of years ago. Hard to believe it's been this long. But anyway, here we've got, bioscience companies that are just absolutely getting a huge amount of money being invested into them and have huge revenue opportunities. They feel just in the trachea transplants alone, there's a $600 million in revenue opportunity for just that. And we know that technology hurdles are being overcome. And we know, and if you think about it, the trachea, if you've studied the body at all, you'll know that this was no small feat. Now, what comes next? Well, I think kidneys and livers are probably next on the list. And if you think about all the patients, all the people out there that are on a kidney transplant, a transplant waiting list, it's very, very exciting because, my wife has an uncle, he's older. He was on the kidney waiting list many years. And because of his age and some health concerns, he wasn't as a higher priority as maybe a younger, more healthy person, but he finally did get a kidney and it's changed his life. Obviously, for any of you that have had friends or family members or people that that have gotten a kidney transplant. Now, he did dialysis for so many years that he was, he knew how long really being on dialysis, what the lifespan potential was, just because that at some point, it kind of would catch up with you. But long story short here is that if they could at some point do a lab-grown kidney, I think it would be evolutionary and we could really help a lot of people. Now, some people are going to be scared about this because what comes next? Livers, hearts. Do we start growing intestines? The world's the limit here. And, there's a lot of stuff that kill people that if it could just be cut out and replaced, would be a huge start. Will they ever get to the point where they'll be able to grow lungs? I kind of doubt that at this point. That's pretty high level stuff. But who knows, And love to hear what you guys think about this, about these techniques and these, what happens when they have a lab-grown heart? We know this is very, very, very complex. Growing a muscle that will actually, work in a body would be pretty incredible. But maybe 10 years? The way this thing's moving, we've talked about this a number of times, but this trachea transplant if my wife knew, her father had cancer where his trachea was affected, and if he would have known, if this would have been available, I'm sure they would have flown him to where he needed to be to get this and opted for this surgery. So the money would not have been an issue. But it's pretty cool stuff. So anyway, we'll keep you advised as news like this comes out. Let's flip right back into the tech content. Quick, Q-I-K. The video streaming service acquired by Skype in 2011 is shutting down on April 30th. Boy, this is big. The company was founded in 2006 and had an estimated 5 million users at the time of acquisition. But again, a post today say that, hey, we're done. We're retiring quick, as a quick video messaging technology has now been incorporated into Skype. Users can now enjoy a great experience in Skype with features such as audio and video calling, instant messaging, and video messaging with contacts in their Skype and Microsoft networks. So quick is done. Pow. Finish. Gone. Adios. So April 30th, 2014, if you've got any content over there, go get it off. All right, let's talk about Netflix. And there's an op-ed by the Netflix CEO. And he's got some pretty strong statements, and I'll kind of try to summarize here just a little bit about what he talked about. This essay also was filed with the FCC as the commission prepares to create new net neutrality regulations. Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, said that interconnection deals like the ones he signed last month shouldn't be necessary to ensure that his stuff, aka Netflix stuff, or anyone else's, shouldn't be necessary to ensure that his stuff or anyone else's gets to broadband customers. He also spells out the fact that his company is now paying Comcast directly to connect with its pipes. In other words, he has to pay them now to do this. And this is something both companies acknowledged privately but wouldn't say out loud last month. Earlier this month, Netflix CFO David Wells told investors that the Comcast deal wouldn't have any impact on his company financials, but it said the company was still philosophically opposed to the idea. Hastings, the CEO, expanded upon this in his essay today. He says, if this kind of leverage is effective against Netflix, which is pretty large, imagine the plight of smaller services today and in the future. He writes, without strong net neutrality, big ISPs can demand potentially escalating fees for the interconnection required to deliver high quality service. Now, he isn't backing out of the deal he made with Comcast. But Netflix believes strong net neutrality is critical, but in the near term, we will, in cases, pay the toll. The toll to the troll. They didn't say that. But the toll to the powerful ISPs protect our customers' experience. When we do so, we don't pay the priority access against competitors just for the interconnection. A few weeks ago, we agreed to pay Comcast, and our members are now getting a good experience again. Comcast has been an industry leader in supporting weak net neutrality, and we hope they'll support strong net neutrality as well. Comcast replied. He says, there's been no company that has had a stronger commitment to openness of the internet than Comcast. We supported the FCC's open internet rules because they struck the appropriate balance between consumer protection and reasonable network management rights for ISPs. We are now the only ISP in the country that is bound by them. What do you mean? You throttled Netflix, Comcast. You throttled them. So your experience on a service, we pay you, Comcast, to deliver the internet to our screens. We pick and choose where we go to get content. It is not up to you to slow the content that I want down. It's not up to you to hold companies like Netflix hostage and make us have a bad experience, because I'm paying you, Comcast, to deliver my stuff that I want to watch on the internet. These knuckleheads, they want their cake and they want to eat it too. It's like that guy that it's truly, we've all heard this, the childhood story of the troll on the bridge. right? Stop. How many of you have ever been to Mexico or any other country where you've gotten pulled over by the local police force? And it's usually that crony that's that beat cop that's in a small town. He comes up to your car. Oh, how you doing, sir? Let me see your license. You are going too fast. You need to pay a fine right now. You know, you're not going to get a speeding ticket in the mail. You know, and if you're driving a nice car, you look about right. You know, that toll could be $100, $200. Toll, not ticket, toll. Or if you refuse to pay, they're going to make your life miserable. They're going to escort you to the local police station. You're going to go through a whole bunch of stuff. In the end, you're going to have to pay. Probably more because you've wasted that guy's time, so he's not shaking down the next guy. This is what this is. This is a shakedown. Comcast can say what they want. Time Warner can say what they want. Charter can say what they want. Verizon, AT&T, all these ISPs can say what they want. This is a shakedown. It's the cost of doing business for them. If it costs you more to deliver my Netflix experience, raise my rates. Don't shake Netflix down. You know, it's all about internet interconnection. But, you know, that's what they tout. Oh, it's internet interconnection. But it's just a shakedown. We're paying these companies billions of dollars in subscriber fees each month. The profit margin on this product alone is incredible. Delivering the internet is just bits. That's their only real, besides, you know, some hardware and some, you know, electricity, you know, in most cases, you know, that expense is minimal. Compared to, it's just like, we'd love to see I'd love to see someone lay out the profit margin on an internet service provider, how much they make per account. And we're not talking about TV. We're talking about the internet part of the business. And I'll be honest with you. It's just a shakedown. It's just like, some guy from the mob coming into your store and saying, hey, you got a great store here. You don't want your windows broken. You're going to pay me $100 a week and I'll protect your store to make sure that the windows don't get broken and people come in and do business with you. It's no difference. It's the same thing. And didn't we shut the mafia down by RICO statutes? At what point do we start applying RICO statutes to the folks at Comcast? You just wait till it's a smaller internet company. What happens if they, you know, ring my, hey, Todd, yeah, this is so-and-so from Comcast. We've noticed that your podcast listeners are using a lot of bandwidth, and we want you to make sure that you write us a little check here to make sure that your podcast listeners are able to continue to enjoy your content. We'd like 25% of your gross revenue, please. Is that so far-fetched that that could not happen? It sure could. You know, you guys need to wake up and call your congressman, call your representatives, and complain about this type of shakedown and tell them that they need to get on the phone with the FCC and make sure that our rights are protected as consumers. It is kind of interesting what the Netflix folks have done. They paid, who'd they pay? Comcast. Why did they pay Comcast first? They're buying Time Warner. They're smart. Getting a little leverage in, right? So maybe it's a bigger, grander play. Stranger things have happened. But I love his title of his blog post, Internet Tolls. I wish he would have said trolls. And the case for strong net neutrality. And he talks about peer pressure and how they were forced to make this happen. Anyway, please, please, please pay attention to this, folks. Please. All right, we'll move on here. Let's talk about ICANN. You know, after years of handling the name and addresses on the internet, the United States is giving control to other bodies. Article by John C. Dvorak. He's pretty strong about this. He says, don't let anyone kid you, John says. The rationale for wrestling control is not for any good reason. ICANN has spent its time making sure that it operates smoothly without political agendas. Do you think people out within the United States don't have political agendas that would like to stifle some people from speaking? Of course they would. The internet today, as John says, is essentially a free speech zone. Unfortunately, as he says, in countries that prohibit or restrict free speech, this is considered an issue that needs fixing. Restricting speech, says John, is important to prevent critique of favored groups, certain religions or ideas. Many Middle Eastern principalities, kingdoms, forbid discussing rulers in anything but glowing terms. Even Germany prohibits depiction of Nazi symbolism. Restrictions are rampant, but today's internet is wide open. It's a megaphone blaring past the local restrictions. So they want net neutrality. Some folks want neutrality out. Why? Think about this. Do not think that the United States is not complicit in this. U.S. Senator Jay Rockefeller, Democrat of West Virginia, has been a huge promoter of removing our control and giving it to some neutral entity outside the U.S. Why? To be nice, John says. As aside, Rockefeller also made a huge fuss over the proposed ICANN generic top-level domains called SUCKS. It would mean someone could create a website that says jrockefeller.sucks. I suspect that this GTLD is a going away gift from ICANN, will probably be killed by any new international operation of the system. And it's basically saying it's a form of unconditional surrender. He says some people argue that the NSA has made the process easier. So we'll see. But what happens when the key players wanting to control this is Saudi Arabia, Russia, China? What happens when they control the internet? We know that adult material will be the first thing to go by those countries, and then suppression of free speech. And I know John is off there a little bit on the wacky side sometimes, but he's got a point. So we'll see if this comes true or if the internet can stay free. Well, I tell you, Microsoft's got themselves a nice little business going. Hacked email shows that Microsoft charged the FBI for user data. As a taxpayer, you should know that in December 2012, for instance, Microsoft mailed DITU, I guess that's somebody at the FBI, invoice for $145,000, broken down to $100 per request for information. The documents also appear to show in August 2013, Microsoft allegedly emailed a similar invoice for $352,000 at the rate of $200 per request. The latest invoice from November 2013 is for $281,000. So it is. It's for an FBI contract. So just, Microsoft's pulling in, look at this here, a couple million dollars a year. Maybe $3 million a year for providing data requests. I wonder what the budget at the FBI is across all those platforms. That's just Microsoft. Ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. Great news. This is actually the first probably good news of the whole show. The Khan Academy is getting a rare partnership to close wealth gap in college test prep. This is an article over in TechCrunch. This is very good. They closed a rare exclusive partnership with the College Board to bring free test prep software to the masses. As the College Board overhauls the panic-inducing SAT admission exam, it will be giving Khan Academy access to actual test questions in the hope of creating a sophisticated learning program aimed at test prep otherwise reserved to wealthier students. Well, that's interesting. Khan says, we think we can make the playing field more level by making the best-in-class tools and making it free. We hope that beyond individual students, these tools become adopted by after-school and college readiness programs. This is fantastic. They say it's difficult to overstate the inequality that persists between privileged and underprivileged students. Only 30% of students from bottom one-fourth of the income distribution attend one of the nation's elite colleges. Among the richest students, it's at a staggering 78%. Money talks, no money walks. That's how it works. They're saying that traditional test prep doesn't actually help. So we'll see what this happens here. This is a little bit of optimism for this. I think the SATs in large part are crap anyway. You know, I went to college, was very successful, had a very good GPA. I never took an SAT test. You know, it seems when you get a little older, they don't care. They just want your money. You know, that's, you don't really have to qualify. They say, oh, come on in, write your check. Now, some idiot at CNN considers whether a black hole swallowed the missing Malaysian airplane. Yeah. You know, I've heard a lot of theories. This is crazy. So apparently there was an interview taking place, and I guess it was with former U.S. Transportation Department Inspector General Mary Shavio. What if it was something fully that we don't understand? Anchor Don Lemon asked, throwing out black holes, the Bermuda Triangle, the Twilight Zone, and the movie Lost as examples. He says, I know it's preposterous, Lemon says, but is it preposterous, do you think, Mary? the Department of Transportation Inspector, Department Inspector General, you know, she kind of just like waved it off. Fortunately, we do have a good understanding of black holes and pop culture. Well, it is, Shavio said. She dismisses the black holes and said that events chalked up to the Bermuda Triangle are a matter of weather. She also points out that Lost is a TV show. Always like things for which there's data, history. Crunch the numbers, she says. The segment, this is crazy, that this guy, black holes. We had a black hole. Suck up the Malaysian flight. I think I've seen this guy once or twice on the air, but this is going to have to go down in the history of, did he really say that? Oh, man. It's funny. Oh, it's just, to me, it's just, it shows you what idiots, what absolute raving lunatic idiots we have sitting at broadcast desk on national television. It's not about the news. It's about entertainment. That was entertaining, right? You guys are all just entertained, right? Did you learn nothing? No. You learn how much of an idiot this group is. It's just crazy. Oh. A black hole. Oh man, I can't help myself. All right, let's move, because I'm spending a lot of time on this stuff. I'm having fun though. Hey, starting at the forefront of email security and reliability, Gmail has announced today your email is important to us or to you. And making sure it stays safe and always available is important to us. As you go about your day, reading, writing, and checking messages, there's tons of security measures running behind the scenes to keep your email safe, secure, and there whenever you need it. Starting today, Gmail will always use encrypted HTTPS connection when you check or send email. Gmail support HTTPS since the day it's launched in 2010. We made HTTPS the default. Today's change means that no one can listen in on your messages as they go back and forth between you and Gmail servers, no matter if you're using a public Wi-Fi or logging in from your computer, phone, or tablet. In addition, every single message you send, receive 100% is encrypted while moving internally. This ensures that your messages are safe not only when they move between you and Gmail servers, but also as they move between Google data centers, something we made a top priority after last summer's revelations. And he goes on to talk about reliability and everything. So, big move by Gmail. I think Microsoft could take a lesson there. And there's a new app out there. The app creates a custom radio show based on articles from your favorite news sites like Geek News Central. We know that podcasts are fantastic and talk shows are great for your daily commute. But this one has a computer-generated voice that basically reads the news for you. It's called Newsbeat, an iOS and Android app. Check it out in the App Store. The astronauts are preparing to capture the Dragon. So team members aboard the ISS and people on the ground are continuing to do Canadian arm training. Pretty cool video on that. Have that up in the show notes for you tonight. Also in space news, new Cassini radar shows Titan sees glass smooth, nixing hints of waves. So some radar measurements of an enormous sea on Titan basically says it's smooth as glass. So probably because no wind. So that's got scientists disappointed a little bit. Now, NASA, of course, now is doing studies on when the world will end and when civilization will come to an end. But I guess they're distancing themselves from this new study, even though that they paid for it. They released a, if you didn't hear about this, NASA has basically predicted when civilization is going to collapse, based upon the amount of resources we're using, population, and a whole bunch of other stuff. You'll be able to read it. It's been accepted for publication in the Journal of Ecological Economics. So, long story short, basically they are trying to push back a little bit and say, maybe we didn't mean everything we said. But I have the link up in the show notes at space.com on that. Okay, Tor. I guess, you know, everybody know what Tor is. If you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you know what Tor does. But apparently there's been a fake Tor app that's been sitting in the Apple App Store for months, Tor Project says. They've been trying Apple to take it down. So if you're using a Tor app on your iOS device, you need to definitely check this article out because you may not be using a secure Tor client. Judge Otis Wright. Now, we know Judge Otis Wright. Of course, he was has made many appearances here on this show over a variety of copyright concerns and, you know, these idiots that got themselves in a lot of trouble for lying to the judge. But this is about the FBI and variety of governmental agencies that have been doing types of things that some people consider entrapment. And so Judge Otis Wright definitely was not happy with a recent case that appeared before him. And he starts off his basically response to the case where he basically did a full dismissal. I basically kicked the government out the door. He said, "Lead us not into temptation." Judge Noonan Ward, United States versus Black, 733. "But into temptation the government has gone, ensnaring chronically employed individuals from poverty-ridden areas in its fake drug stash house robberies, while undoubtedly a valid law enforcement tool when employed to target or prevent demonstrated criminal enterprises. Reverse stings offend the United States Constitution when they're used solely to obtain convictions." And basically, this is about the ATF setting up a fake a drug stash house and trying to convince a couple of idiots that they should go rob this house and get the drug stash. And at the same time, the ATF agent convinced these two idiots to bring along a friend. And, of course, these three idiots went to rob this drug stash house. There was no drugs there, and instead found the ATF and got arrested. But the court found that the government's extensive involvement in dreaming up this fanciful scheme, as Judge Otis Wright says, including arbitrary amount of drugs and illusory need for weapons and extra associates, transcends the bounds of due process and renders the government actions outrageous. So the two guys that basically were enticed by the ATF, they're still in trouble. But the guy that they brought along, apparently he's going to get off. So anyway, I'm sure we may hear more about this, but this is a whole write-up that's you guys read through this, you're like, whoa. The undercover agent provided a getaway van. He actually provided him a vehicle. These guys were unemployed, broke. Wow. Oh, and he also, the ATF guy actually told him he'd be in the stash house when they did the robbery. So that they wouldn't get hurt. This is crazy stuff. And by the way, no drugs were taken off the streets. Just two idiots that were unemployed that thought they could get a quick score with some drugs that weren't there. Idiots in their own rights, but at the same time, it just shows you some of the stuff that's going on. And I'm sure they would have announced this on the news as this was a big bust. Criminal ring broken up. All right, let's move on to something more fun. World's biggest aircraft is funded by Iron Maiden's frontman and Airlander. Very, very cool. The original U.S.-backed Airlander took its first flight over New Jersey Naval Base before discontinuing development. This was the HAV, and the U.S. Army spent a huge amount of money trying to implement what was then called the Long Endurance Multi-Intelligence Vehicle, LEMV, and instead it was bought and shipped off to Europe after the government didn't want to do anything with it. And this thing's getting ready to do some maiden flights. And you can win two tickets for Airlander's maiden flight to where they're going to be cruising all over the place. So this is kind of interesting. But this will be the biggest aircraft in the world when they start using it on a regular basis. There's some new tech coming to the iPhone 6, specifically graphics enhancements. So look forward to that when that comes. Also in the science news, there's a new drug that makes brain cancer cells explode. This is pretty exciting stuff, especially for those that are suffering from GBM. GBM is, I might as well, glioblastoma multiforme. And folks that have this rare disease don't survive much over 3 years. So this new treatment that they're testing on rats at this point basically explodes the cancer cells in a way that's pretty unique, and it doesn't hurt the cells around it. So this may lead to something in the future for some sort of a treatment mechanism. So we'll see where this leads. Also, did you know your human nose can detect 1 trillion smells? Not 1 million smells, but 1 trillion. Is there a trillion smells actually on the planet? So my nose, I know, that cannot smell a trillion smells. My wife says, "Do you smell that?" No, I don't smell that. But apparently scientists are saying that instead of 10,000 scents, we can smell up to 1 trillion scents. Hey, if you have a Starbucks near you that's in a urban area, not only can you get your coffee in the morning, you might be able to start getting a cocktail in the evening. So apparently your Starbucks baristas is about to become your bartender. So this is going to happen in about 40 stores. They're doing some tests, and this may roll out a little more in urban areas. So they want to have bars instead of Starbucks at night in order to obviously increase sales and maybe catch you before you go to dinner, give you, offer you some wine or something like that. So yes, your Starbucks is soon going to become a place to wake up and to also pass out. So congratulations to Starbucks for covering it on both ends. Syria's internet just went dark. Yes, the government pulled the plug. Not surprising at all. but they're currently internet is out. All right, switching gears here just a little bit. In the health tech news, innovation floor tiles that can monitor the health of the elderly. This is a new innovation that basically detects when people walk across it, if someone's fell on it, if you're scuffing. A variety of different things can be used with these new floors that are basically taking all kinds of different measurements, and they can tell things about people's physical ability and so forth by how they're walking. So kind of a weird innovation, but it is one that is out there. Bitcoin has apparently gotten a software fix for weakness that helped bring down Mt. Gox. So that's in the news. They did an update there to help that out a little bit. Semantic has fired their CEO, Steve Bennett. He is out. He's also, of course, resigned from their board of directors. But apparently he lost faith with the board, not able to really come up with a good execution plan. So he's out on the street, I'm sure, probably many millions of dollars richer. Google's Project Tango is headed for the International Space Station. Of course, Google's Project Tango is a prototype smartphone packed with sensors, and they're going to send it to the International Space Station so it can learn and sense the world around it. Two of the Tango phones are due to be launched at ISS on the upcoming Orbital 2 mission, which is scheduled to launch in May and take supplies to the station. The phones will be used as part of NASA's project developing robots that could one day fly around the inside of this and or outside the space station, or even maybe used in NASA's planned mission to land on an asteroid. So these little mini robots are getting a lot of action. They're light, easy to bring into space, and pretty powerful. So we'll see how this story develops. Also, if you ride a lot at night, there's a new reflective bike that will light up at night to keep you safe. And it's only going to set you back $1,245 for an 8-speed. Single speed is $1,245. 8-speed is $1,595. It's a Kickstarter available. You can help fund it. And if you want one of these that glow in the dark, you can buy one. You know, there's an easier way to have a glow in the dark bike. There's something called reflective tape. Just tape some reflective tape on your bike. And believe me, people will see you. You don't need to spend $1,245. You can go down to the store and probably pick up a roll of tape for like $12. Oh, man. That just makes me laugh sometimes. Hey, over in New Zealand, Mega Upload has, Megaload, aka .com, has lost one of his court proceedings. He loses case to access extradition evidence. So this is, he suffered another blow here in his fight against extradition to the United States. The Supreme Court ruled that the U.S. prosecutors were not required to disclose evidence at a hearing set for July to extradite.com, the founder of the online sharing site Mega Upload, and his three colleagues in the United States. Washington charges that Mega Upload website, of course, it was shut down in 2012, cost studios millions of dollars in damages. So that battle continues. Do you think he'll ever get extradited? I don't know if it'll happen or not. If you're running an old Linux server online, matter of fact, one that's running version 2.6, you're probably hacked. This version has been out since December 2003. So you'd have to have a really old kernel running to be affected. But if you're like a hardcore guy that's never upgraded, be aware that you probably have a hacked machine. There's a very easy exploit, and it's really going and targeting any web server that's running that kernel. So be aware of that. Hey, in the news, there's some news that there's a massive tech campus that's basically approved to be built, and it's going to dwarf Facebook's headquarters. The green light has been given to a massive new complex, the largest the city of San Jose has ever seen, but city officials and the developer aren't revealing the name of the technology company that will occupy it. Apparently, it's basically going to be a 2 million square foot project with space for 8 to 10,000 employees spread out over 10 seven-story buildings and $700 million, and the developer says he's already got a renter. So who's coming? Is Apple moving over there? Is Microsoft? Is Amazon? that many bodies. There's not a lot of companies that would move that many, that those big in numbers. So we'll see. All right, over on Wired, Facebook, and boy, if you're a programmer, listen. Facebook has introduced Hack, the programming language of the future. And I'm not a programmer, but based on everything I've read on this, it's pretty exciting stuff. So I'm going to send this over to Angelo to have him take a look. If you're a PHP developer, you're going to want to check this out, I promise. Also, if you're a GarageBand user, there's finally an update to GarageBand on Mac. And you can now, once again, what is the deal here? We've got an ad that keeps popping up. GarageBand on Mac now lets you export songs as MP3s again. That was a feature that was lost, and people were really mad. But today's release brings back that feature back. So once again, you can use GarageBand to export to MP3. I've never been a big fan of GarageBand. If you want to see some very eye-opening video, and it's 50 minutes of real war in Syria, but it shows a battle where tanks are attacking a fortified rebel position, leading through fire support, and then the actual tank itself getting destroyed by rebels. You really don't see anybody dying, but it's a GoPro video that's mounted on the tank, and this is not a video game. This is the real deal. Realities of war here in a big, big way. The tank's just blasting away, and the rebels finally fight back, and I have the link up in the show notes. You guys can check that out. Comcast obeyed over 24,000 government data requests last year. That's part of their transparency report. So the government asked for 24,000 of you that are on Comcast data about your accounts and data about you. If you're a Sprint user, Sprint is shuttering stores and laying off repair techs to help cut its losses. And I guess Sprint's tired of the red ink. So today they're shuttering 150 service and repair centers, 55 of its lowest performing retail stores, and laying off some 330 repair techs. A handful of call centers have been closed too. So these are pre-planned cuts, and they're trying to basically save some money here to definitely get the company back in the black. If you are in Turkey and you're listening to the show, well, you know that your Twitter is blocked. Apparently, the prime minister there wants to eradicate it, so he vowed to shut Twitter down, and he did. He's had it blocked by the country. Big surprise there. You know, that's just, country's suppression at work. Did you know companies are now tracking the fitness of their employees? Is this too much? They're trying to see how much sleep you're getting, how much exercise you're getting, how much you're eating. There's this big push now for companies to monitor what we're doing in our off time in our private homes. I wonder at what point are they going to put video cameras in our bedrooms too, or in the toilets? You know, the next thing they do when they see how many times we use the bathroom a day, or the consistency of our daily duty. You know, what is the deal with this on companies tracking the fitness of their employees? That's none of their business. You know, give me a gym membership, cool. You know, give me some great training on, diets and all the other things that go along with it. But I don't want some tracking how much I walk, run, sleep, how much move I'm doing, what I'm eating. Would you put up that with your company? GeekNews@gmail.com. Larry Page said he'd rather give away his billions to Elon Musk than give it to charity. Boy, that's going to get the folks upset. He says instead of giving it to a philanthropic organization, he'd rather hand over his cash to Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla, SpaceX, and SolarCity. Page said he wanted his money going to capitalists like Musk, those with big good ideas for changing the world. He thinks Musk's vision of going to Mars to back up humanity is inspired. He says that's just like charity. Interesting here. So read the transcript. This is going to make a lot of people upset, I'm sure. They're going to say he's being stingy. But, you know, most of the, some of these nonprofits are, you know, you look at their board of directors and how much cash they're making. It's just many times it's a front for companies to make money and they do very little. Now, don't take me wrong. I know a lot of companies or a lot of nonprofits do great things, but some don't. But it's an interesting way for him to make this announcement. I'm sure he's going to get a lot of pushback. There's a great article over in CNN Money talking about a drone that can steal what's on your phone. I guess some hackers have developed a drone that can steal contents of your smartphone, from your location to data to your Amazon password, and they've been testing it out in the skies of London. The research will be presented next week at the Black Hat Asia Cybersecurity Conference in Singapore. The technology equipped on the drone, known as Snoopy, looks for mobile devices with Wi-Fi settings turned on. And basically, they just try to act as a go-between and look at all your traffic. So, great video, great article. This is actually something good CNN done, instead of talking about black holes. In the green scene, First Solar sets new thin film efficiency record of 17%. This is big. First Solar announced on Wednesday they set a new world record for Cadmium Telluride photovoltaic module conversion efficiency, reading a record of 17%, up from its previous record of 16.1%. So these achievements are basically going to make solar more efficient and cheaper to deploy. So this is very cool stuff. If we can get a couple percent a year, it'd be great. Comcast is testing TV Everywhere authentication on Apple TV and Roku devices. So this is something Comcast is trying to do, I guess, to keep you locked into their service. They are definitely expanding on the set-top boxes and things that you can view and see. Oh, did you know the Time Warner Cable CEO is going to get $79.5 million if the Comcast buyout happens? That's pretty good. He'll get a severance package of $79.5 billion. Should the deal close, he'll get $56.5 million in stock, $20.5 million in cash, and $2.5 million bonus if Time Warner meets his performance targets. So, nice payday for him if the deal closes. I'm sure he's encouraging that to happen. And finally, tonight, Twitter rolls out easier, faster video playback on Twitter.com. Let's go into the email here. So what we've got in the stack, let me bring this up quick. I got an email from Jeff. He says, hey, and actually I just covered it. He said, hey, Todd, scary new drone can hack your phone from the air. Thanks for that, Jeff. I'll have, obviously just talked about it, but I have that in the show notes. Also, we've got a email from Jeff talking about, let me see, what date is it here? That's good. Talking about Amazon Fire set-top box release date set for early April. I think we know that's going to happen. Got an email from Robert. He said, here's a link to the whitehouse.gov's position to keep U.S. control of ICANN. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. I think I covered it in the last, actually put it in the last show notes. So if you missed it, it'll be in there again tonight. All right, that's going to wrap me up. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for supporting the show. Definitely consider becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Tell your friends, people that you know, share with your neighbors, strangers, tell them to listen to Geek News Central. And we want to thank you for sticking around for this entire show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran, and we'll see you on Saturday if you so decide to join us for the New Media Show with Rick Calvert from New Media Expo, or I'll be back with you Monday evening live or Tuesday in your ears as you're riding the bus, walking to work, in the gym, snow plowing in Antarctica, walking the plains of Greenland, wherever it may be worldwide. We want to thank you for being a listener and a viewer of the show. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.